All right. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
That was a very lady thing to say. Good morning, ladies. All right. This morning, you are going to be hearing the voices of Pastor Jody. I am Casey. I am here. Jess Andrews is with us. And we have Matea.
Should we have said present?
Present.
So we know the voices. Present.
Yes. No, it's fun. Matea, I think people want to get to know you a little bit. You're the newest to LCC staff. Mm-hmm. And actually, when I got here, I think coming up on 7 years, you were still in youth group. I was your camp counselor when I first got here.
Yes. That's how
I
met you.
I know. It was so fun. You were so sweet. You
well, left I think a good... also we need to add, so like, I'm 50. Casey, mm-hmm. how old are you?
32.
Thank you. Jess?
I'm 42.
All right. So we're a little bit on the higher end. Matea, how old are you?
23.
Ooh. So when
we're
Matea
like all 10
joins
years apart.
The
10,
team, 10. She's like, hey, we should have a women's conference. I don't know if we've talked about this on here. Like, we need to give credit where credit's due.
Oh, yeah.
And, absolutely. You know, Jody and I'll say it, Kelly. And we were all like, like, that sounds exhausting. You know, it's like when somebody says, we should have a VBS. I'm like, guess what? Hope has a VBS right down the road. Anyway, so she's like, we should have a conference. And we're like, you know what? You're probably right. And she pulled it off. And so, yay. Like, ladies,
amazing.
You're welcome. That is why we had a women's conference. Mm-hmm. Matea. Pleaser.
Aw, yay.
It was so good.
It was so awesome. Good.
If you didn't come this year, you should come next year in February.
Yes. You should.
She Wakes
are,
Conference.
Yeah.
2025.
Yes. Aw, fun.
Anyway, who are you?
So, yeah, Matea, tell us a little bit about your heart for not just women, but especially you and your husband, Caleb, are involved in leading the youth here at Life. And so tell us a little bit about your heart for teenage girls, especially having been there recently. Like, it was, mm-hmm. it's been less than 10 years you were in their shoes. And so what is that Ooh. Like now being their youth leader?
It's so much fun. I love it. But I think it's really... When I get older, I think like community is so important, and I don't mm-hmm. think I realized how important it was at like middle school and high school age.
Yeah.
Not just good community, but godly community.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And just being able to create that it's been awesome.
Oh, I love that. And do you remember like being in youth group and they would tell you things all the time? Like I remember hearing all the time, I wish I could go back and tell my high school self this.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay. Yeah. But then now being like an adult, I'm like, oh, I wish I could mm-hmm. go back and tell my...
I know.
So it's so hard to like be stressing things to them, like pleading with them, please do this in your mm-hmm. life, make these decisions and mm-hmm. knowing, you know, that some will, some won't, but
yeah,
just praying that you see fruit mm-hmm. 10 years from now and stuff like that. But you have a great group of girls though. I see them around.
Yeah.
Cute.
Oh,
yeah. Really
One of the things
girls.
That I yeah. love is that you do like things for girls outside. Mm-hmm. Like recently we had a glampin' for our K through fourth grade girls. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, it's a rough night. You know, like,
yeah.
They love it.
I know. And so when I came home, you know, like my body takes like some time to recover from that kind mm-hmm. of sleeping on the floor. And Jeff is like, Joe, why do you do that? And I said, babe, it's literally like one of our missions is mm-hmm. to create atmospheres for our kids to be friends with each other, mm-hmm. friends with their leaders, and ultimately friends with God. And yeah. so that is like, I love you're doing like, name some of the things that you do with your small group girls.
Well, we haven't done a whole, like we've done a Valentine's Day thing, like night with my middle school girls last year. And then we've done, well,
Friendsgiving, game nights.
Yeah. I mean,
we haven't really, I'm not saying you have
we
to
haven't
do
really
things
done that
all
much
the time.
Right now. But
even if
this
it's
summer, we have
year.
A lot.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, but personally, I've heard a handful of girls be like, oh, I have coffee with Matea.
Oh.
And so there's girls that you're individually pouring out to that's not yes. going to be seen on the stage at Life right. Community Church. And so I'm really proud of that.
Yeah.
I think
oh,
you do a great
job. They will always
job.
Remember that.
Yes.
Yes.
And they feel so cool. Like the one girl that was telling me about it was just so casual. Like, I have breakfast with Matea.
If you didn't see that, Casey just whipped her hair back.
Yeah. Like, just, But they're so, they feel so important that you're, it's so sweet. So yes. We're really proud of you. We're so happy to have you on our team.
Totally.
Yay. Aww, thanks, guys.
Everyone give Matea a hug when you see her. She's awesome.
I actually do. She loves that.
Yes.
You do actually love hugs?
I do.
Oh, yay.
That's good to know. We do need t-shirts like, hi,
hugger, not a hugger.
I am a hugger. I am not. Yeah.
Didn't Pastor Jamie have a shirt?
We had stickers during COVID.
He was a hug dealer.
Can he say what?
Hugs, no hugs.
Hug
or
dealer.
Hug dealer.
That's funny.
All right. Well, should we get into this?
Okay, we
so this
get
is my
it.
First time on the follow-up.
Hey.
Woohoo, welcome.
Follow-up with Jay and Mate.
Jay and Mate.
I love that.
You like that?
Yeah.
Let's
we
do
can
it.
Keep, we can do it. Hashtag Jay and
Bumper
Mate.
Stickers.
Well, so what I was noticing when we talked about women of Easter, women of the, you know, of Good Friday, women at the cross, women at the tomb, is we never read the passages. And so
party
I was
foul.
Just,
what's that?
Party foul.
I Whoops. Know. So I thought if we could, I just have kind of bracketed like all the parts where women show up. And because obviously we know men are important, but it's pretty unique that women are part of this story. So of course we're women and we want to highlight that. So mm-hmm. here we are in Matthew. We're at the cross. So it's, you know, on that Friday. And let's see here. It is Matthew chapter 27, verse 55. And it starts with many women who had followed Jesus from Galilee and ministered to him were there, looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. So we're here at the cross and we're hearing about the women who haven't run. Like you notice the 12 disciples aren't listed there, but the women who've been following him are still there. Drop down to 61. So we're hearing about Jesus being placed into the tomb. And it's kind of a little creeper like sentence at the end. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were seated there facing the tomb, watching. No, I added the watching. It's not in there.
Yeah.
And so that's Matthew. So then Mark covers the same scene in chapter 15.
Which then,
15.
Right, I'm like, what other Mary? Because there's 1,000 Marys, but it's fine.
Yes. No, I know. I kept Googling other Mary.
I know. Yeah.
Which other?
And I had mentioned Mary of Rome, and we were all kind of like, wait,
who's
what?
She?
I did read it. She's later. Paul mentions her somewhere.
Okay. I was like, I
so
don't
she's
remember
not,
her.
Yeah, she's a later Mary because it's the world's
most
popular. You
know, there's a joke out there that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is Italian.
Really?
Because, like, the Catholics in Italy and Rome. She's not Italian. She's Hebrew, but it's a joke.
Oh, I've never heard that joke.
You haven't?
No.
She was Italian.
She was Italian.
Okay, so okay, Mark 15, Jesus is taking his last breath. Verse 40, there were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of, it says Joseph, could also be Joseph, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they would follow him and help him. Many other women had come up with him to Jerusalem. Drop down to 46. So we're talking about Joseph of Arimathea, putting him in his fresh cut tomb. And 47, now Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were watching there, watching where he was placed. Luke 23, 29. Oh, I highlighted this because this is the only gospel that says this, but Jesus is on the cross and he says these words. Listen to this. He says these words from the cross, 23, verse 28. But turning to them, a large crowd, including women who were mourning and lamenting him, but turning to them, Jesus said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. Look, the days are coming when they will say, the women without children, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed are fortunate. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and the hills cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? I thought that was interesting. Like,
isn't that a prophecy for the Maccabees?
It's a prophecy about 70 AD when they're attacked and,
yes,
yes, Rome falls.
But yeah,
blessed are the women with no children. they won't have to worry about taking care of anyone. Wow. I thought I didn't catch that on the first reading. Then continue down in that Luke 23 and 48, the crowds that gathered, all who knew him, including the women. The women are the ones who had followed him. They stood at a distance watching these things. Drop to 55, the women who had come with him from Galilee followed along and observed the tomb and how his body was placed. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. And then the last passage in the last gospel, John chapter 19, verse 25, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother's sister, which some believe that's Salome, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." He said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. Mm-hmm. So those are all the women at the cross.
There they are. I was listening to something by Dr. Lynn Kohick, and she says Salome.
Salome!
Yeah, she does. So I was like, okay, we're all right.
I have a dear, dear friend named Salome.
You did? How
does she
say
it?
Salome? Or? She's from Iran.
Salome.
She goes by Sally, but...
Sally.
I like Salome way better.
That's cute. That's so She's cute. The best.
So if
That's
you're beautiful. Pronouncing so it Salome or Salome, mm-hmm. you are right. It's okay. fine. It's okay.
Or just say Sally.
Yeah. Or just say Sally, yeah. So we're just in the Bible from now on.
The other thing that
Sally?
I just wanted to point out is that Mary, you know, we hear that Mary over and over again, but of course that was not their names. That is an Anglican name mm-hmm. or an Italian name. She was actually Miriam, named mm-hmm. after Moses' sister. Mm-hmm.
So anyway. Which was also a Middle Eastern name, and there are so Miriam. Many Middle Eastern mm-hmm. people who go by Miriam.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Oh, yes.
Very cool. Miriam.
I have a friend, Miriam, and when I met her, she was saying she was named after, you know, Miriam in the Bible, Miriam, whatever. And I was like, oh, like Moses' mom? She's like, no, the mother of Jesus. And I was like, oh.
She said
or
that.
I said Moses' sister. She's like, no. And I was like, oh, we say it differently in English.
I know.
And she's from Brazil. They speak Portuguese. And I was like, oh, Mary's different.
But I do
different.
Think it's interesting why they don't translate Miriam as Mary, mm-hmm. you know, in the Old Testament.
Well, probably from Hebrew to Aramaic.
Oh, yes. To Greek, to English.
Yeah.
Well, in any of them, some of them, I'm like, it's not that hard. Like in our Bible, everywhere in the Old Testament where it says Lord should actually be Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that's weird that we took that out. So
mm-hmm. I love Yahweh.
It's weird. Or like Jesus is Yeshua. It's like, that's not that hard to say. It's yeah. not like something bizarre that we mm-hmm. couldn't.
But the same thing, like he's actually Joshua.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like
just all these different.
Yeah, it's
anyway.
A little confusing.
It is.
So what do we think about all these women?
I love what Shelley said, that Jesus goes out of his way to liberate and affirm women. Like, oh, that was one of the yes. most beautiful, powerful things. And it's not just, like, women who, like, it's not just Jesus, the mother, I'm sorry, Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's women. It's powerful women who are wealthy. It's people who funded his ministry. It's single women.
Yes.
It's mothers. It's
sisters.
Sister. Like
daughters.
Yes. It is just this wide range. It's children. Like
yes.
Jesus goes out of his way to see people.
Mm-hmm. Gentiles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's like, no, you all are included.
Yes.
Make no mistake.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that is it brings me to tears often. It's like he looks at people, he sees people way differently than we do.
Yes.
He places value where we don't. And at that time, affirming women
or children
was just beyond the sick, mm-hmm. the leper, all of those things, like
servants.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Eating in the house of Simon the leper, all of those things. Like he is going out of his way. And like you said in the last podcast, it's in the Bible because it happened.
It happened. Yeah. That's yes. how it happened. Yeah.
Yes. It's beautiful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love him.
I do too.
I'm serious because like this is an illustration I like to have with kids. And I've done this before where I've got like this whole screen full of faces. Old faces, young faces, black faces, dirty faces, female faces, all these faces. I'm like, that's what's so beautiful about the body of Christ is that he is the great equalizer, mm-hmm. culturally, economically,
yes.
poor, rich, like you said. Like, we are all, this is the one place, if we could do it right, mm-hmm. like, where everyone is equal before him.
I love mm-hmm. it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was really cool how we see, like, the women were always there.
Yes.
Always.
They didn't like, run.
Mm-mm. No, they didn't run. And even when, I think it was Joseph that was, like, setting up Jesus' stuff in the tomb, and they were just there.
Watching.
Just watching. Like, always there. And I thought that was just so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, where were the disciples?
Exactly. You know what, Matea? You haven't done this yet.
Yeah.
But when you have a child, I feel like women can do hard things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we're the yeah. ones who have the babies. We're the ones who have the menstrual cycle every month. Mm-hmm. Like, we can do hard things.
Mm-hmm.
And these women, like, they did not run. They were there.
And even when they may have been sent away, like, you wonder if they were opposite the tomb because
they were at a distance.
They can't just hang with Joseph of Arimathea because mm-hmm. he is a man of power.
A priest.
But he's like, but they're like, well, we got to make sure.
Yeah.
We're going to stay with our Lord because yes. we're going to make sure.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was so cool.
The other thing about that, too, that I was noticing is that, you know, they were preparing the spices.
Mm-hmm.
But so did Nicodemus.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the amount of spices that he did, it was 75 pounds.
Wow.
You know, we buy spices in like a little 2-ounce jar.
And I'm thinking McCormick.
Like, yeah. I know. 75 pounds. And the reason why is because this was a notable person being buried.
Mm-hmm.
So like only noteworthy people got that amount of poundage and spices.
Wow.
And it's honor again.
Yes.
It's like Jesus bestowed honor. But you think about, they want to honor him. They know who he is.
And they're the first to recognize
yes.
him when he, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I actually loved, it sounds like a lot of people watched The Chosen. Have you watched through it?
Yeah, girl.
I loved Nicodemus when he was introduced.
Yes.
I was like, he is my favorite person in the show. And it like,
I think it's really real.
I know. And
so
about The Chosen, I think people are always confused about this. They are not claiming this is exactly how
no.
it happened. They're building a story based on context around what we do have from the Bible. I was really sad about the way they portrayed Nicodemus choosing not to follow Jesus. I'm like, I don't personally think that's how it would have gone. I feel like maybe he would have wanted to. And Jesus said, I need you in your position, like in the mm-hmm. temple. But I get that writing a show for millions of people to watch, it resonates more with us that we don't want to lay down our earthly things to follow Jesus. So I think that had more of a message. Mm-hmm. But just to maybe clear the slate for Nicodemus, I believe that he loved Jesus.
Absolutely.
And
he proved it in the end anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, every time we read about him, he's for Jesus. He's toward him. He's loving him.
But he's coming in the night like he's a little apprehensive.
That's the mm-hmm. first time. Yeah.
All
and
right.
then he's like, all right, I got you. He's a good man. Okay. We don't know. We'll never know. And when we get to heaven, we won't care probably. We'll just be like, oh.
Something I was thinking about on the way in today is the attack on women mm-hmm. and children. It was happening in Jesus's day. So like, infanticide was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Women, you know, being on the fringes of society, not their words not mattering. And I was thinking about 2024 and how, like, Satan just still has an attack on women.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking mostly about the, how should I say it? The imposter of people pretending to be women mm-hmm. who aren't women, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, I understand there's emotional and mental health also that can be involved there, but just that you can, like, we are women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, another way to say it is you can't just be a child. Like, you either are one or you are not one. Mm-hmm. So to pretend to be a child is foolishness and it's deceiving.
Mm-hmm.
And so isn't that just like the enemy to, I don't know if you guys can help me with my words here, but.
No, I agree. I think when you see like this whole, like the feminist movement and things like that and transgender, like all the things that are going on, it's almost like this false strength that we're coming back into. So like women, oh, we were so marginalized, we're so abused. Like there's context to that, but the answer isn't to now over abuse everyone else, like, because I am a woman, I get to do and say whatever I want. I can choose to be a woman if I want. Like, I don't know. It's just a mess, I think is what you're saying.
But I just feel like it's so unfair and yeah. just like the devil to steal our literal physical identity
yes. yeah.
and imitate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that exactly what the enemy does?
Yes.
He takes the truth and he twists it.
Yeah. Manipulates it.
And he yeah. makes it appealing, right? Just yes. like he did in the garden. Like, is that really what God said? Is that really the truth? Are you sure you feel that way?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're comfortable in your body?
Yes.
Just questioning the truth and the honor of what God says we are. Because mm-hmm. we're made that image of God. We're made in the image of God, male and female.
Yes.
And Satan is always going to try to twist the truth. Mm-hmm. And he will always appeal to our emotions, and he'll appeal to our insecurities. He'll appeal to our frustrations in our life. And I think that's the attack. Like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna show you what you will think is an answer, but yes. it's not an answer. It's a lie, mm-hmm. and it is a trap.
Yes. Yeah. And so just back to these scenes, and the Lord is lifting women, like you said, mm-hmm. like, no, you have a place.
Yes.
You are made in my image too, like yes. you just said. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
So as you guys read through, obviously, because we talked about a lot in the last one, what were some things that stuck out to you guys in reading a specific character or something that happened?
I think mine was Salome.
I love it.
How do you say it? Are you Salome or Salome?
Well, I have a little pronounced thing.
I did that too.
Salome.
That's exactly what I did. Salome. Okay.
Phonetic.
Yeah. But so I mean, she's like spoken about, but her name is only mentioned in Mark.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like that's the first time she's like her name is mentioned. And so I started like looking her up, like, okay, who's this Salome lady? And she's the mother of James and John. And actually, like there's, I don't know where it's at, but there's a part when she goes up to Jesus
yes.
and she touches him and it's like, you know, can you make sure that my sons are on the left and right hand of you in heaven or something like that? And then I was reading something and it was like her sons were actually the motivators of that. Like, oh, mom, can you tell Jesus to do this? Like,
make sure we're seated well. Yeah,
because she was one of the women disciples. And I was also reading like she was probably one of the oldest. Mm. And she was like the trustworthy, the loyal one. And I was reading one and it said that she wasn't the leader of the, like, women disciples. It was Mary.
Magdalene?
Yes, Mary Magdalene. And I was thinking, and I'm like, dang, like, she was such, still a big role. Like, mm-hmm. like Jesus still loved her the same. But just because we don't really hear her that much or read about her, she gets overlooked. And I was like, sometimes I had this thought, like, sometimes we want to be Mary. Like, we want to be like mm-hmm. written about, we want to be talked about, but Salome was just as important as mm-hmm. Mary. She's just not, you know,
and she was the bold.
She was, yeah. Mm-hmm.
To there's go not to like Jesus something speak. Passive.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was reading a little more about her too. And it was noted that the boys were fishermen, mm-hmm. but they left their father to go follow Jesus, but they did not leave their mother.
Yeah. Mom's like, I'm leaving the nets too.
And then the other thing that I thought was so interesting is Jesus's answer. He said, it's not for me to decide. Only God knows.
Yeah. Doesn't he say like, you don't know,
you
what,
don't
you're
know
asking.
What you're asking.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know what you're talking about.
Like, but I was like, okay, so who are those seeds for?
Mm. I was right. thinking that yeah. too. Like, yeah. Who are the chosen?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Man, yeah, I loved that when she's like, promise me my boys will have good seats with you. I'm like, yeah. He's like, lady, you do not know what you're talking about.
But then it was cool too that he didn't say like, oh, lady, you don't know what you're talking
yeah,
about. But he
yeah.
said, your sons don't know what they're asking.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Make
oh
it
you're
seem
right.
Like,
yeah.
they were asking the mom
ahead of time.
Yes. Yes.
They're like, Mom, go.
That's yeah, nice.
Mom, and ask him. We know she didn't shy away from it because she is at the cross and she is at the tomb. She stays.
She is there. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that you said that because she is Mary's sister, right?
Yes.
Right. That like Mary had her people in that time.
Yes, I thought that too.
It is so comforting. And then you see the way, like, when I think about how Jesus honors his mom just throughout his life and what Shelley was talking about, like so many of those unfulfilled promises, not unfulfilled promises, but like her dreams for the way she thought it would go.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yes.
God, what? Why is my, I thought he was the Messiah. Why is he dying on the cross? Like, did I make all that up? Like all of the agony of standing there watching your son die is just unreal. Mm-hmm. And then the way he, like, again, he sees her and he's like, hey, can you take care of my mom? Mm-hmm.
Oh, I
like,
love
I'm in pain. I'm in agony.
When he says that.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. But I see you, Mom.
He's still our shepherd.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take care of you. Mm-hmm. And that he's not even like, where are my brothers? My brothers are the worst. You know, he's like, right. But John, can you care for my mom? Mm-hmm. And that he does. He cares for her till the end. John, I love that.
Every time I read when Jesus says woman, it always makes me think of my brother, Adam. He always called my dad old man. Old man. And, you know, it sounds like derogatory, but it is a term of endearment.
Oh, yes.
Woman. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I love like that, too.
And you know what I was thinking? Because I'm trying to read all of the cross in the four Gospels because they're so different. I love the different details. But I think it's really easy for us removed to look and be like, oh, the disciples ran away. Oh, they were more whatever. And then it's like, oh, but happy day. He rose from the dead. It is happy. And he did return to them, but he left again. And so they all, and he was only 33 years old. So Mary still lost her son young, even knowing he was the Messiah, even seeing him resurrected, even seeing him ascend, she still had to go the rest of her life. And we don't know how long without him. The disciples still had to know we lost a friend at 33. You know, like we know the end, happy story, but they still mourned a friend the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And so it's so hard to be quick. It's easy to be quick to judge looking back thousands of years ago. And we're like, but we know the ending. Heaven's coming. And it's like, yeah, but they did lose someone. Yeah.
I've always thought that when he said, I'm leaving so I can send you the comforter. Mm-hmm. And they were like, I don't know that I would trade having earthly Jesus with me.
She's like, I'd rather have my baby.
Right.
I don't need the helper. I want my son.
Yes. No. I think that's so good. And the Bible always talks about how we have a high priest that understands.
Yes.
And like knows our emotions and knows grief. And it's like, that's real. And he didn't send, I'm going to send you a champion. I'm going to send you a
warrior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you the comforter because you're sad.
Yeah.
Because this is hard.
Good point.
Like you're going to grieve me, but I'm going to send you a comforter that walks alongside you. And isn't that what we all need through life? Because life is challenging. Life is sad. Life is loss. And he knows that. And he's like, I'm not going to send you someone to just rah, rah, rah you into the next thing.
Right.
I'm going to send you a comforter. Mm-hmm. And you see that happen all through scripture. He's sending someone to walk alongside you. Yeah.
I do wonder, like, you know, now that we're talking about it, I wonder what it actually felt like for them.
Yeah.
Because they act like we don't have the experience of having earthly Jesus among us. We just have the experience of having him within us.
Mm-hmm.
They had him literally, you know, in walking in the dust next to them. I wonder how different that felt to them to then have him within them.
The Holy Spirit,
and those conversations, right? Like, I mean, the Holy Spirit's cool, but like,
Jesus was so funny.
Right?
I
think he was so funny. I was talking to Zane about that the other day. I was like, don't you think Jesus was funny?
Yes.
He's like, yes.
Yes, I do.
I think he was too. Especially like all his quick one-word answers. I'm like, oh, Jesus, you're so witty.
He is.
He's a little sassy.
Before we move to the resurrection, I just wanted to, I was noticing this morning when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the priests, and he was saying, They were like, give us a sign, give us a sign. He said, I will not give a sign to this unbelieving generation.
Wow.
The sign is like Jonah in the belly of the fish, 3 days. And I'm like, he knew it was going to be 3 days. Mm-hmm. Like, I need more information about this. Mm-hmm. Like, he knew he was going to the cross. He set his face towards Jerusalem when it was time. Mm-hmm. And he knew it was going to be 3 days.
Because he knew Torah. He knew prophecy. Yes. He knew it all. Isn't that crazy?
We were just talking about this in our life group last night. I started listening to the Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer that Jess Andrews brought to our attention.
Amazing.
It's a good book. Mm-hmm. And he's talking in the beginning that by the time a Jewish child was 5 years old, they have Torah memorized.
So 5 years
old. So
I know some five-year-olds who could do that.
You do?
Dawson Blasdell.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Amazing.
All of it? He can't read, but he could just, his mom just says it and he's got it.
That's amazing. Yeah.
The Brocale sisters are like that too.
Okay, yeah.
Can't read, but can memorize large portions.
That's what hit me once when you said it about the Brocale girls. And you said, you asked Nikki, like, how are they learning this? They can't read. And she's like, I have to memorize it and say it to them. And so that's what we do. Instead of like, you know, normal bedtime prayers, whatever verse we're working on, I will memorize it. And that I just say it to them like 3 times at bedtime.
And they have it.
And yeah, we do it for like a couple days.
5 years old and they would have Torah memorized. Yes.
Because your brains absorb and memorize when you are young, like a sponge.
And they didn't have all the other junk.
Distractions, no Game Boy or whatever.
Right. Yeah, and they didn't have the Bible to bring home. So if you want this, like in your home, you have to have it in your heart.
Wow.
And so then it was by the time they're 10 or by like fifth grade-ish age, they would have then the prophets and the songs and the law in addition to the Torah memorized.
Unbelievable.
So now I'm thinking like I just, you know, was talking at the women's event about how Psalm 22 is a messianic prophecy and it lists detail for detail the cross.
Yes.
So every Jew overseeing the event who knew Torah, who from the time they were 5 and then 10 had this memorized, everyone should have been able to look and be like, ooh, check, 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 check. He is the Messiah. Even him mentioning Jonah. Oh, you are right. We had this memorized when we were 7 years old. Like we know exactly who you are. And so it's just interesting for me, like, who chose to follow and who chose not to. And who chose not to follow believing that he was. Mm-hmm. Like, they saw all the signs, too, and they choose to be against him. And I'm like,
isn't that interesting? Because he says, he who has ears to hear and eyes to see. You know, like, he's always saying, open your eyes.
How
open
can
your ears.
You miss it?
Yeah.
How can you know it in your head and miss it? Mm-hmm. I just cannot get over that.
And we all do it.
I know.
We all do it.
That's been my prayer lately. Like, God, everything that I know, can you just, like, actually reveal to me where I'm not knowing your way? I'm knowing my way. Mm-hmm. Or, I don't know.
I know this isn't about women, but can we talk about this for a second? I love that you brought up Psalm 22. Because that, like, I misunderstood that for a long, long time. And in the last couple of years, I've come to understand it. When Jesus was on the cross and he said those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Mm. And on first glance, it sounds like, oh, God has forsaken him.
Sounds like Jesus was like, whoops.
Like he turned away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's not that at all. Mm-hmm. It's what you said. Because everyone has the scriptures memorized.
Yes.
You would say the first couple words and then everybody would know, oh, that's Psalm 22. And they would have,
yes.
It's
like if we say, oh, say, can you see? You know where I'm going.
You know,
like,
exactly.
You know,
so the very end of that psalm talks about the deliverance of people.
Mm-hmm.
All the families of the nation shall worship before him. Posterity shall serve him. Men shall tell of the Lord to coming generations and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn. He was saying, I am on this cross, but this is not the end.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Deliverance is coming.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. And as your translation, it's he has done it.
He has done it.
I love the last part. To a people yet unborn. He has done it.
This doesn't look like, or doesn't seem what
them.
It looks like.
Yeah.
We are them.
We are the people
are
yet
the unborn.
I love it.
All right, what do you think? Should we get to the tomb?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's see here.
Tomb time.
Matthew 28,
Sometimes I don't know why things come out of my
mouth.
We're going to edit that out.
So after weird. The Sabbath, as the first day of the week, this is Matthew 28, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his robe was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken from fear of him that they became like dead men, but not the women.
So like passed out?
Yes. But the angel told the women, don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has been resurrected just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he's been raised from the dead. In fact, he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you. So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then, Jesus met them and said, good morning. They came up, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Jesus told them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee and they will see me there. Mark 16 tells the story when the Sabbath was over. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they could go and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb at sunrise. Tomb time. I love this. On the way, they're saying to one another, who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb for us? No plan for that one. Looking up, they observed that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. They were amazed and alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he told them. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He's been resurrected. He is not here. See the place where they put him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter he is going ahead of you to Galilee. So they went out and started running from the tomb, trembling and astonished. Early on the first day of the week, after he had risen, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went ahead and reported to those who had been with him. But no one believed her. Luke 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the men were terrified and bowed down to the ground. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Asked the men. He is not here, but he has been resurrected. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day? And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. Can't you imagine, like, this whole women, like, you guys, we saw this guy, like,
yeah. You know what this
These words sound like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Last passage in John. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was dark. She saw the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran to Peter. They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. They look in, but Peter did not go in. I'm kind of going along. Verse 11. But Mary stood outside facing the tomb crying. As she was crying, she finally looks into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where Jesus' body had been laying. They said to her, woman, why are you crying? Because they've taken away my Lord, she told them, and I don't know where they've put him. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, though she did not know it was Jesus. Woman, Jesus said to her, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, sir, if you've removed him, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away. Jesus said, Mary. I just love that.
I know.
Mary. And she recognized his voice, Rabboni, which means teacher. Don't cling to me, Jesus told her, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. Mm-hmm. And she told them what he said to her.
Love it.
I love it.
Mary.
I love that in so many accounts, it says the women were afraid but full of joy, and they still do the thing.
Yes.
So often I feel like when we're afraid,
we stop.
We're crippled and we can't move, or we're stalled. And it's such an example of like, you can do things afraid.
That's excellent.
And still have fear and joy at the same time.
And still keep
and
moving.
And still do it.
That's really good. Can you say that again?
When you are afraid, you can still do things.
Yes.
Fear does not have to stall you. Fear does not. I think often we get in these uncomfortable positions, or we get offended and we're fearful to move forward. And the Lord, and so we're like, I'm just not going to do it.
I'm done.
I'm uncomfortable, or my feelings were hurt, so I'm just out. And the Lord is saying, don't be afraid. And go do it. And you can still feel the fear, but you're still going to move forward. You're still going to go be the Easter evangelist. You're still going to go tell the guys he's alive. You're still going to do the things.
And they don't believe you, but
and
you
they might
still
not
do
believe
it.
You, but you're still going to do it.
That's still excellent. I love you brought that out.
I do like
Maybe
that.
We should end there. That was profound.
Boop. Press the button. No, since we touched on it again.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to clarify something I blurted out as usual.
The angels.
No, I loved it.
Oh, thanks.
It was
so good.
The angels standing at the head and the foot of the tomb. So right when Jesus died, it says there was a huge tear down the heavy, thick curtain that would have separated the regular part of the temple from to
Imagine
the Holy
this.
Of Holies.
Look at your hand. Like, look at the length from the your top of your middle finger to your wrist. That's how thick the curtain was. Like, you can't just... It's thick.
Yes. And they would say, like, only specific people at that time of year would be chosen to go in, or you'd drop dead. Like, you can't. Mm-hmm. So this is like the Holy of Holies. It's the place where the presence of God would dwell. As soon as Jesus dies, it tells us it's ripped down the middle, which for the temple was like, wait a second. Like, where's God's presence?
Where's
and then
God's presence?
God says, here's my presence. There's an angel standing at the head and the foot of the tomb where Jesus was.
That's awesome.
He's our new presence. He's our new, we all now have access to what they had, situations, holidays, moments, you know, other people telling them on behalf of God's presence. Now we have it in your kitchen, in your car. Like, we have access to him all the time.
And what you were saying is that mirrors the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The Ark of the Covenant. Yeah. It was. It's
because
an image. It's
an
a
angel.
Clue. Mm-hmm. It's like, what does this look like? What else has an angel at the head and the foot?
Yes.
God's
we were just
house.
Recently teaching the kids about Solomon's temple. So when the first temple was built, and you know, you go in, and there's the Ark of the Covenant with the two cherubim over the seat of it, called the mercy seat, which is where Jesus. God, he would come, and that becomes like his throne on the top of that Ark of the Covenant. But then on either side, and having been to Egypt, like, I have actually seen this, and it's incredible.
Oh, wow.
But it's like in tombs of the pharaohs, there's these giant winged creatures, and their wingspan, and this was true of the temple too, the wingspan touched the outer walls. And the two inner wings touched each other. So if you walked in, and mind you, no one gets to see this room except for the high priest who comes in once a year.
Yes.
So this splendor was for no one. It was just because he is God. And so just imagining that scene. And the other thing that's so interesting is that after Jesus's death, as his resurrection, his ascension, then 70 AD... Like, so already, Casey, you just mentioned the veil being torn. Well, then the whole temple is destroyed. And guess what? It's never been rebuilt.
Yeah.
Like, here we are, 2024. It's never been rebuilt. Wow. There's never been another blood sacrifice.
Yeah.
Even though the Jews are still waiting for the Messiah, they should be sacrificing still. Like, he changed it forever.
Wow.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
And he made his dwelling among us.
He made his dwelling among us, Emmanuel.
Ugh, it's amazing.
Imagine being one of the, like, was it the guards and witnessing it and then still being like, oh, whatever.
And no, they still you took
fainted.
A bribe.
Yeah. The guard fainted.
Fainted.
And then woke up and said, oh, we're going to
we got a problem.
Yes. Like, how did they go home from work? It's like, what happened today, honey?
Be you
like,
had I one job.
Well, they were actually afraid because they didn't do their job. They'd be killed.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they're like, okay, let's just make up a story, guys. They're like, you're okay. We're not going
to make up a story.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's true. I love thinking of all those little details in the story. There's mm-hmm. so much that Tim Mackey always says, oftentimes as important as what's mentioned is what's yes. not mentioned. Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting. I'm like, oh, but where did they go? Who were they with? Who were their friends? Were they married? Was that funny? Like, I don't know. I'm
always thinking like when you watch a movie over and over again and then you just notice different characters mm-hmm. yes. and details, you're like, oh, that's interesting over here. Oh, what's this scene mm-hmm. over here? You know, like you're not watching the totally. Main scene, but all those little
the
bit parts.
People in the back.
Yes.
Saying words that don't exist.
Yes.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yes, I think that too. That's so funny. I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember if there's anything specifically we wanted to cover.
I was listening to this sermon. I think it was Perry Stone. And he was talking about like just mothers, mm. how their prayers are so powerful, mm. and talking about Mary and how like Jesus and God has this like not favor but like just really soft heart towards mothers mm-hmm. because you know of like Mary and Jesus's relationship, but then just how he can relate to a mother, like you created something, you're connected with this person in a way that no one will understand but yes. a mother. And I just thought that was really cool how like Jesus has just a soft and God has just a soft heart for like mothers, because what you were saying, like you like moms do the hard things, like they can mm-hmm. do the hard things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I just thought that was really cool.
I love that.
That is sweet. I hadn't thought of God being like a mother, like he's the creator and the yes. giver. And so
me either. Yeah.
It's so cool. He's called, where I don't know where it's at, so maybe I shouldn't even say it. There's a somewhere in the Old Testament he's referred to as a mother hen somewhere. I need to find it.
Well, I
do you know what
I'm
talking about?
Jesus says he will hide you under the shadow of his wings.
No, there's one about a hen.
Well, Jesus talks about like little chicks. He like when he mourns for Israel, he's like the motherless like little chicks. I can't remember it either.
That's why I was like, maybe I shouldn't say.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to edit that out.
Actually, we're not. So just disregard.
I remember what is called a not baked idea or
half-baked
idea.
It's swirling around up there. We weren't quite ready to spit it out.
Do your own homework and research.
I swear I heard that somewhere, read it, and I was like, oh, is God a mother hen?
We'll have to put that in the show notes.
Yes.
So you know. That's funny.
All right. Closing thoughts.
Do we have any? Yeah.
I wonder if this, like, you know, we've been knowing this story, depending on how long you've been a Christian, for a long time. And you just revisit the story. And I don't know, like each time, like I get more and more into the details of it, it just really makes me cry. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of just being like, oh, okay, yeah, he died, he rose again. When you like really read and get entrenched into the scene, mm-hmm. you're just like, no, he really faced cruelty. Like I just can't fathom being so mistreated. Mm. When I'm actually the reason why all y'all are here.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, like you owe your very existence to me.
Yeah.
And yet you are hurling things at me, whipping me. I was talking to Alexa about this the other day, and this is my best example, and it's a terrible example, but I think you'll get the idea, is like he willingly did this. Mm-hmm. He willingly went to the cross. He willingly mm-hmm. was tortured. He could have gotten down at any moment mm-hmm. and defended himself. And the example, like I liked a long distance bike ride. So I've said, all right, Jody, today I'm riding 50 miles. I'm riding 75 miles. Like I've decided I am doing this. Well, mm-hmm. guess what? As you're sitting on that bike, it starts to get a little torturous on the bottom. Yeah. And you're like, any moment I could get off that bike,
right?
I do not, because I have set the intention. Mm-hmm. I am fulfilling this. And I just think of Jesus like to 100th degree experiencing this torture, knowing he could end it at any second.
Because he is still God.
And mm-hmm. he doesn't.
No.
Yeah.
And I think people, there are groups of people in who view the cross and they're like, yeah, but like
he's God.
He didn't feel any of it because he's God.
He's
well,
human.
Actually, God the Father took Jesus off the cross so he wouldn't experience the pain.
Oh. I have never heard that.
There are many religions
theory. Because we'll think of anything to sleep at night.
Who God that Jesus yeah. isn't the Son of God
human.
Really because that couldn't actually happen. And he was fully God and fully man. Mm-hmm. He felt every bit of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He felt every bit of that pain. And he could have done. And they said it. They mocked him. Mm-hmm. If you're the Son of God,
get down.
Get down.
He's like, yeah. I would love to blow your minds right now.
Call down the angels. Yes.
And he's even
and wouldn't you?
Oh. Yeah.
I think about like human
I'm human,
me.
Human though.
Yeah.
Like, get down. Like, fix it.
Are we going to say Mateo? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was just going to say, and he was on the cross and he questioned God. Like, he was like, God, like, have you forgot
Where
about me?
You?
Like,
yes, he felt that.
And so that was like his human coming out.
Or
yes.
like the day before or 2 days. Like,
yes.
Is there
like,
another way?
Are you sure?
Yes.
Is there another way?
Yes.
And it's like, mm-hmm. that just shows how human he was.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's not a sin either because he was perfect. So questioning and asking questions isn't like a sin.
It's no. relationship.
Point.
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
constantly invited to bring our doubt and our concern and our yes. fear to God in the Bible. It's never yeah. been bad to be like, are you sure?
Yeah.
And then he comforts us through that. This morning I was reading Mark 14, and it's Jesus before the Sanhedrin. And I love this part where they're questioning him, and they're getting angry because he's being quiet. And it says they keep accusing him things, but the testimonies do not agree. So in Jewish law, Hebrew law, when they brought an accusation, it had to agree through, I can't remember, I think seven people or seven testimonies or whatever. And they kept bringing these stories. And it says, and that story, that testament did not agree. It did not agree. That testimony did not agree. So they're getting angry. And finally, it says the high priest, which, by the way, this is at nighttime, which yes. is illegal in Hebrew law. You have to mm-hmm. start after sunrise and be done before dawn.
And then because you didn't have those witnesses to.
Yes.
Then it also was irrefutable. Like,
yeah.
this is an illegal courtroom proceeding. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So all this is wrong. And so, but you have all the important people running the wrong thing. So no one to hold them accountable. But so then the high priest asked him, are you the Messiah, the Son of the God, the Son of God, the Blessed One? And Jesus, this to me is like a mic drop. He says, I am, which we know like the great I am, like
Yahweh.
Jews are very familiar with this like phrase
saying
I am. He's like, whoa. And he says, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. So if you're looking at the Sanhedrin, the high priest sat in the middle, and at the right hand was the scribe and 21 next to him. And they scribed word for word accounts on behalf of the innocence of the person. To the left was a scribe who wrote down all of the testaments toward the guilty of the person. And so he's like, not only am I Yahweh, but I'm also your scribe for your innocence sitting at the right hand of the Father. And so, but what made me so sad is after that, it says the high priest tore his clothes and they start spitting at him and then they blindfold him and they all take turns hitting him like with their hands. I'm like, oh my gosh, it just makes me so sad, that scene. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh, Jesus is like, phew.
I have never.
Isn't that crazy?
I have never scribe writing your innocence.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what was so terrible is like they did not have their witnesses.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which he could have said, yeah, I'm going to be sitting at the left hand of the Father, like writing for your guilt, you know.
Right.
But he says,
he
I'm going to be at the right hand. I'm also your salvation. So it's just crazy.
And the other thing that like hurts me about that scene is that he's alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people who are for him are not in that room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which they wouldn't be allowed to be. But yeah, alone and wrong. It just. So
which is, again, he knows our loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
He is a high priest who knows what it's like to be lonely.
Yeah.
To feel like everyone's accusing you, to feel all of those things.
Yes. Yeah. Let God be your avenger. And let just like, you know, that picture is so beautiful, Case. I mean, he died for them too.
Yes.
He died for his enemies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are not God.
Mm-mm.
I love that it's very, very brief, but I think it's in all the Gospels where
one of the, I don't know who they say it is, a Roman official says, surely this man was the Son of God.
It was the centurion.
The centurion, yeah. And then Luke's account says, surely this man was innocent. And so yes. It's so.
I love that. Like, that's another one of those small parts that you're just like, what
transformation
happened to him when he went home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the thief on the cross. I love thinking about the two thieves on the cross and just crazy.
It is amazing. Love it. Greatest story ever told.
Greatest story ever told. Jess, you want to pray for us?
Yes. Jesus, we just want to honor you and thank you for what you did on the cross. We want to thank you for the way that you see us, the way you saw women, the way you honored women. God, I pray that you would help us to honor those who are unseen.
Yes.
To honor those that you value. God, that we would place your ways above our ways. And help us as we go into this Easter weekend to acknowledge what you did and be grateful and to be the Easter evangelist. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for the She Wakes podcast. For more information, you can visit our website at lifeillinois.org. We'd also love to see you on a Sunday morning for church at 8:30 or 10:30.